Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's sermon podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks so much for joining us here on this Sunday, August 9th. I hope you're doing well. I know kids go back to school, a lot of them, this week. And so this might be your final weekend of the summer vacation together. I hope you're having a good week with everything. We're kicking off so many things here at the church right now. We've been kind of busy getting everything ready. Before I get into some of those things, though, I wanted to say a big thank you to everybody who gave or supported the Growing Hope Farmers Market last weekend. We raised $2,000. From that farmer's market, and then we as a church matched it with $2,000 as well from our budget. So we were able to give $4,000 to this incredible ministry that is helping give farms and water and the message of Christ and everything to people all around the world. And so it was just a thrill. So thank you to everybody. I think everything sold. I think there was like one bag of corn that was it, sweet corn that was left. And if I remember right, our youth pastor was glad to take that home with him. And so we are thankful for everything you donated and everybody who came out to purchase it. A few announcements as we begin today. Today, as well as next Sunday, we've got kind of information sheets and signups for the fall season, ways you can get involved or serve. I'm just looking at the insert that Jessica put together for us. There is so many different small groups and Bible studies and different days and times if you want to be a part of one. They're listed. I know my wife, who helps run the backpack program, we're having a sign-up sheet out there in the foyer for people who would like to pick a Sunday to, as a family or an individual or whatever, to pack up the food in about 25 to 30 different little backpacks that we bring to the school every week for families to take home. And so if you would like to pick a Sunday or two and sign up during the year, that sign up is there. For Family Fellowship, we know that is something that's been a neat program of ours throughout the years. It's getting signing up to be placed with a number of different families that are newer in the church too, that you can all kind of get to know each other better. You organize some meals together amongst yourselves in your group, and you get to know three or four other families really well by eating together a few times over a few months. And so if you're interested in getting to know some people, that's a great way to do it. Sign up for that. But there's also information about the men and women's retreats out at Covenant Cedars and the different Sunday school classes, which begin on August 16th. And then all the youth and kids programs. So look on your church email. She's got that on there. Or come by the church and grab one of these inserts. That is really good things. We also have started up the site there, the link, if you want to buy any church t-shirts or sweatshirts, all different sizes and colors. Britt Jordan helps run that. She's in charge of that as part of her business, and she's made up a really neat design for Bethlehem Covenant Church. And so if you want a Bethlehem Covenant shirt or sweatshirt, we have that on our church email, and those can, you can either sign up for them to be mailed to you if you live far away, or if you are local, then they'll all be delivered free to the church, and you can just pick it up here mid-September. But right now it's open till the end of August for those who want to purchase a t-shirt or a sweatshirt. And if you have any problems trying to figure that out, you can just call me too, or text me, email me, whatever it is, and I will get information to you about how you can get one of those. I get one new every year. I think I have like four or five different designs now of Bethlehem shirts from the years, but I love them, every one of them. Well, this morning we are going to begin a new sermon series. We're going to do the New Testament in a year. So this is going to be a long sermon series, but I'm praying that it'll be actually more than just another sermon series. We're hoping that everybody would be able to take 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week. That's not a lot. It's just one chapter a day for 5 days in your week. So 5 chapters in a week. And if you do that, you will read through the New Testament in 1 year. And then on Sundays, when we gather here, I'm going to preach a sermon from the reading that we had during the week. I won't summarize the reading. I'll just pick a story or a few verses out of that and dig deeper into them. And so it'll be both time alone with God in your own personal reading, but then also time together with Him on Sunday. And I'd ask you to think maybe creatively how you might do this. You know, maybe you choose to read the chapter for the day in the morning before you go off to work. Maybe you read the chapter together as a couple and you add that to your marriage. Or maybe your family and your kids are with you and you read the chapter for the day at dinner each night and you keep your Bible on your table. Maybe you keep your Bible right by your bed. And when you wake up, before you grab your phone first thing in the morning, you grab your Bible for just 5 minutes with the Lord. First thing, a moment with God. Maybe you read that same chapter again at night before you turn off your light to go to sleep. And so beginning and ending your day with God in His Word. Maybe you get a cheap notebook and you take some notes or write down some things that God is teaching you from the Word. Our Bible reading plan, we have it here. We've printed up a whole bunch of copies. They're here at the church. Again, I can mail you one if you're far away, or it's also on our Bible app, our church app. We have a section under there, Bible reading plan, so you can have it electronically. But the written one here, it has the chapter for every particular day. And then even just a little box there so you can check it to know you've done it. And then it's got 5 ways to dig deeper right at the on the cover here. 5 questions and things I've put together for you to think about in every chapter that you read. Like, you know, what do I learn about Jesus and who He is? And what does this chapter teach me about how I'm to live? Or what's the big point that God wants me to know from this? There are 260 chapters in the New Testament from 27 books that make up the New Testament. 4 of the books are the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're the eyewitnesses' accounts of Jesus and what He taught and the miracles He did and the things that He said and how He was crucified and risen for us. These 4 guys, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they wrote it down for us, so that we might have it, know it, and believe. After the 4 Gospels comes the book of Acts, which tells the story of the early church and through the Holy Spirit the church grew and miracles happened and missionary journeys. And then the rest of the New Testament is made up of letters. Letters written by the Apostle Paul and John and Peter and James, and letters to the churches in Rome and Corinth and Philippi and Ephesus, teachings about what we believe and why and how we're called to live as followers of Jesus. And then the New Testament ends with the book of Revelation, that which is yet to come. All of the words of the New Testament were written in the first century, written down so that we might know, and every one of them is the Word of God, which guides and leads our life. You know, I've been struggling through some physical problems over the last few years, minor health things, just getting old, I attribute it to, but a few months ago, I told my doctor about some of them. And the doctor gave me some medicine to try and a little change to my diet. And so I took it, I did it. And in honestly, just a couple weeks, I had already seen the changes in me. I am not having those problems anymore that I had lived with for 3 years. They are now gone. And it has been such a relief. Well, similarly, I want to say to you, I promise you that if you get into the Word of God every day, on your own or in your marriage as a family, whatever, if you take that small amount of time to be in His Word and add that to your life, and not just speed through the reading, but think about the words and let them get into your heart, and then take a moment to pray for your kids. If you do this little thing, I'm not saying that all of your problems are going to go away. They won't. But I am saying, and I am fully convinced of this, that you will walk closer with God. You will have greater peace in your life, purpose and joy and faith. This has been my story, and I promise you, God will meet you in yours. To know Christ and to be able to daily walk and talk with Him and hear His voice written down to us. This daily thing, we are all invited to do it, and it changes us. It heals us in time of what needs to be healed inside of us and outside. He is risen and alive, and He is with us, and He will guide us through His Word and in prayer when we invite Him to do so. So today I want to begin our New Testament series now. And what I'd like to do is start it by reading Mark chapter 1. For us today, and just looking at a few points on it. So Mark chapter 1, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me there. Mark 1, I'm going to read the whole chapter just like you would read it. We're all going to be reading it. It starts on Monday, so this is the reading for Monday, but I want to read it today and pull out a few points. And so it says this: the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. As written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. So John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized in the Jordan. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message, that after me will come one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being open and torn apart, and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice from heaven came, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, but the angels came and attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," Jesus said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come and follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to be fishers of men." At once they left their nets and they followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and they followed Jesus. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." And the impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed. They asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority? He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." News about Jesus spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. They immediately told Jesus about her. He went to her, took her hand, helped her up, and the fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and the demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he wouldn't let the demons speak because they knew exactly who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and he left the house, and he went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went out to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everybody's looking for you." But Jesus replied, "Let us go to somewhere else, to a nearby village, so I can preach there also, for that is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees. "If you're willing, you can make me clean," he said. Well, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man, and he said, "I am willing. Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away with a strong warning, though. He said, "See that you don't tell anybody about this, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices Moses has commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, the man went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. But as a result, then, Jesus could no longer just enter a town openly. He had to stay outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. You will notice as we read through the New Testament that all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, they're so perfectly consistent to each other. Nothing contradicts, and yet they each have different personalities and angles on a story. Matthew, he writes mostly to a Jewish audience, where Mark here, he gets straight to the point in all of his stories. Luke, he loves giving us lots of extra details, and he loves the miracles and how Jesus cared for people. And John, well, John goes straight into theology and what it all means. Each one is a little different, but they tell the exact same story. Something about Mark that we need to know, since we're starting with that book in the New Testament, is that his name was actually John Mark, and he wasn't one of the original 12 disciples, but he became a Christian shortly after the resurrection. He traveled with Peter on his missionary journeys. We kind of know he was his right-hand man. And so most scholars believe that Mark is actually telling Peter's story in his gospel. Some even believe that when Peter was in jail, about ready to be executed for his faith, Mark was visiting him and taking down and writing all of his stories so that after Peter died, they wouldn't be lost. The stories and teachings of Jesus that we read here are firsthand accounts of what Peter saw and heard. Peter was there. When Jesus drove out the impure spirit, Peter was right there. When Jesus healed his mother-in-law with a touch and then the leper, Peter was there and heard Jesus say, "Let us go to the next town. That's why I have come." Now, when you read your chapter for the day, just like I read this one, certain things might jump out at you for more than other things, and that is good. Every time I read the Bible, different things speak to me at different times in my life, based upon maybe what's going on in my life or whatever God wants me to know that day. But I've given you five ways, I think, to dig deeper to help you think about that chapter if you want. What do I learn about Jesus in this chapter? What did he do? What did he teach? What's the main point? Those will guide you if nothing just pops out at you. But this morning, I want to focus on just four things about this chapter that we can take away today. The first one is this. Notice that Mark begins in Mark 1:1 with the words, the beginning. The beginning of the good news of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, it says. Now, we know that Mark was the first gospel to be written, and it is about 50 AD. And so it makes it possibly the oldest of all of the 27 books in the New Testament. Now, for me, it says a lot that the very first words then of the New Testament are the beginning. Because this is how the Old Testament also starts, with the same words. In Genesis 1:1, we read the first words of the whole Bible are, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, Mark 1:1 says, the beginning now of the good news of Jesus. Because this was a new day. This was a new start, a new beginning. By the mercy and grace of God, he sent his Son into the world to now redeem and restore the world. The New Testament is like the turning of a page to a new start. You know, sometimes we call, you know, revival in our heart. But it's really something new that God is doing in our life. You know, and we've maybe had some of these new beginnings in our life. You know, maybe up until this point, even in our life, we've not been walking great with God. Or maybe we've had to go through a lot of wilderness and trials, times and error. But his mercy is new every morning. And when the Lord stirs our heart towards him and speaks to us, it's like a new chapter is beginning in our life. Maybe you're at one of those today. Well, this is the New Testament. The world it was fallen. It was broken people all over. But into this darkness came the light. God sent his Son who took on flesh. And he didn't come to abandon the Old Testament or the people of Israel or the law or the prophets. But as we read here from the beginning, there's mention of Isaiah and how Jesus came to now fulfill the law and the prophets. It's not like God changed. This was his plan along. We just didn't know it until it happened. God would send his Son who would make all things now new. As Jesus would teach, the old wineskins would not be able to hold the new wine. This was a new day. Since retiring, my parents have begun to read the Bible together. They had always had their devotions separately, but it's a new thing in their marriage to read the Bible together and out loud. And what they love to do is read large sections of it at a time. You know, most of our devotionals today are just a few verses or something, but my parents love to read whole chapters at a time, even whole letters, like in the New Testament that are short enough, like Galatians, which is only six chapters. They read the whole letter at one sitting out loud. My dad says it takes only about 20 minutes or so, and it's amazing, he said, what you hear when you read something in full and out loud. You get to hear that big point. Well, I bring up my parents because they started reading together in the Old Testament. And it took them a while, you know, but they read it through. My dad said, though, it got pretty heavy and dark at times, as the Old Testament can, reading about all the wars and the judgment and the laws and the prophets and watching Israel keep turning away from God. And by the end of the Old Testament, he said, you feel like, man, the situation is pretty dark and gloomy and hopeless. You know, but Dad said it was amazing. But then you turn the page and you get to the New Testament. And right from the beginning, there is suddenly hope. Hope. There's light. the birth of Christ, the calling of the disciples, the healings that were being done, the proclaiming of good news and salvation to a people, a new life. And Dad said it really hit him like it hadn't before, going from the one to the other, and how it was like this breath of fresh air that just came in, and how Jesus truly did bring new life, begin a new day. What hadn't been possible was now possible. In the Old Testament, we begin with God making such a beautiful world, but then immediately in our sin, we mess it all up. But God remains faithful to us over the years. His love never changes through all of the heartbreaks. And just when you begin to think it's over, you turn the page and God does something you didn't see coming. A new beginning. The good news of Jesus. It's how the New Testament begins. A new beginning. The second thing, though, I want to point out from this chapter are the words good news. The word gospel is an old English word, simply means good news. In Mark 1, we read the words good news three different times. In verse 1, the beginning of the good news about Jesus. In verse 14, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. And then verse 15, where Jesus himself says, the time has come, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe the good news. So we learn here that Jesus came to proclaim good news. And we learn that the good news is that God has come near. He has come from heaven down to earth to save his people from their sins and bring hope and life back to all who would believe in him. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only son, that whoever believed in him wouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. The language kingdom of God that we read here means the rule and reign of God in our life. The kingdom of God has come near. Literally, that means God has come close. The gap between us and God, he's crossed it. He came to us. The gap that we had made because of our sin, God in his grace and love chose to close the gap. He's come near to us in Jesus Christ to be with us. He came near to us by going to that cross. God has come now to live in us, to rule in our hearts, to lead and to guide our lives. We don't have to walk alone. We were made to walk with God, to do life with him. Jesus would teach his disciples that the kingdom of God would live within them. Not just be a physical kingdom like we see in the world, all the nations, but a people who come from all of the nations, who love and believe and serve him from their heart. That's the kingdom. This is the good news. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins, that we get to now live in his presence all of our days and forever into eternity. As John 1:14 says, the word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1 says, into the darkness came the light and the darkness couldn't overcome it. God came down. In love for you and me, God came right to us, and he didn't give us what our sins deserve. He didn't come to condemn, but he came to save and to invite us into a new life with him, that we might now know God and serve and love him and worship and obey him as we were made to, and to be a part of the new thing that God is doing every day in our world. Restoring and reconciling all creation back to him. You see, this is the good news that we are invited to believe and to participate in. And that good news is it's completely tied to Jesus. Jesus is the good news of God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. But through him, all will be saved. All are invited. No matter who you are or what you've done, he has come for you. He is salvation for every sinner. He is hope for all the hopeless of the world. He is the light for everybody who's walking in darkness right now. And his name is Jesus. And there's no good news apart from him. Apart from Christ, we're lost and condemned. But in him, we are a saved people. No one else has the power to save. No one else has the power to forgive sins or declare righteous, but him who went to the cross for us and was raised for us does. No one else can deliver on the promise of real peace, but him who is the Prince of Peace can. Jesus, you see, is the one and only, the one rescuer, the one deliverer, the one Savior who is coming. Take his hand. That is the message of the gospel. The message Jesus himself proclaimed in Mark 1:15 was, "The time is now come. The kingdom of God has come near you. Repent now and believe the good news." Repent means turn away from the path that you've been walking. Turn away from the sin that you've been living and turn your life towards God, to him who can now save you. Believe in him and his only son who has the power to wash away all your sins by his death on the cross. Believe in him for total 100% forgiveness and for new life and everlasting. Let him lead you and guide you. Repent and believe the good news. I first repented and believed in Jesus when I was 7 years old. I still remember that evening I prayed the prayer with my dad in my room. Since that day, I haven't always done what is right. Many days I can still stumble and fall. But the Lord has lived in my heart since that day. I, by faith, invited him in. And he has been so faithful to me, always there and always calling me back. And I can see his hand in my life so many places and the change he has done in me and in my heart. I cannot imagine doing my life without Christ. He is my life, my every hope. The good news in me begins and ends with Jesus. He is the source. Something I feel God gave me this week to pass on to you is that life can be hard. But Jesus is good news for everybody, not just for some, but for all. He is the good news first in our sin because he's our Savior, but he is also good news for the struggling and the hurting. He is good news in all the bad news that we face and hear. We can face many troubles and trials and sorrows in this life, many discouraging things we might have to go through. Real life is hard. We can even just turn on the news and hear a whole lot of bad news and scary things happening in the world. But the thing I feel God spoke to me on this week is that into every bad news, I got to remember Jesus, who is the good news, and to pray and to think, how is Jesus good news right now that I need to hear? How is Jesus the good news for every bad news we're facing? I saw Barb Menchow a couple times this week. She is amazing, such a woman of love and faith. But I feel for her as she has just lost her son to cancer. She had already lost two other kids and a husband. We cried over that sorrow together. It is very hard, especially for a mom. Jesus wept. We do too. But even in such a moment of great sorrow, there is still good news in Jesus. Not by ignoring pain, oh no, but within it to embrace the hope and truth of Jesus and his love. For there is a cross, but there's also an empty tomb, people. So in all our tears, we got a faith and a joy knowing that Barb will embrace her son again. Someday soon, she will see him again, for he is alive, all because of Jesus, and she will be with him one day. This is the good news. Death has been defeated. Life eternal in Christ. Into every bad news, we feel it. We hurt. We cry to a God who knows suffering, but who also gave us life. Good news into every bad news. So think about that for whatever tough moment you are in right now. Two more really quick things from this chapter. First, Mark is revealing in this the evidence for Jesus. Don't miss that. He opens by pointing to prophecy in Isaiah, which had been written 700 years before, and how it spoke of somebody who was going to come before Jesus. And he says that was John the Baptist. He's saying Jesus is fulfilling prophecy. Look it. Mark also mentions how Jesus' baptism, there's an audible voice from heaven saying, "This is my son whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased." And people heard it. And along with the words, they saw the visible, it says, descending of the Holy Spirit upon Christ. Two more signs, he's saying, that Jesus is the one. Then we read that Jesus was tempted but overcame that, whereas God's people couldn't, Jesus could. Then we read how Jesus preaches, but with a different authority than anybody else who preached. Jesus spoke the truth. He wasn't just talking about God. He was God. Then we read how he cast out demons, how he had victory over evil, how he even healed sickness. Peter's mother-in-law, very personal. And then this leper. And leprosy was seen as the incurable disease, but Jesus, with one word, healed the man. What is John doing in this first chapter? He's telling us all the evidence that Jesus is the real deal. That we can read this and believe that he was who he said he was. When you read the New Testament, I encourage you, write down all the evidence for Jesus. Listen to all that's being said by the people who saw and heard. The final thing I mention is verse 35, one of my favorite verses of all time. Mark 1:35 says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a solitary place to pray." Jesus got alone with the Father from the very beginning of his ministry. He modeled for us how to live connected to God. He got away with the Father. He went alone to pray. When everybody else was sleeping, Jesus was praying. It's how he began his day. And it was in prayer that he was renewed and also guided. When the disciples come and find him and tell him that everybody's looking for him, Jesus didn't just go and do what everybody else wanted him to do. He tells the disciples, "Let us go to the next village so I can preach there, for that is why I came." That is why. I believe that it was in that time with the Father that Jesus heard what he was supposed to do that day. Jesus knew the mission and the purpose of his life. His steps were guided every day in his alone times with God the Father. We see this same thing over and over in the Gospels. Before Jesus picked the 12 disciples, he went on up a mountainside to pray. Before going to the cross, he went to the garden to pray. This is the way of Jesus that we all need to learn from and follow. If we want to walk with God, we got to be a person who gets alone with him in prayer. In my life, maybe like yours, I can get overwhelmed by the urgent, by the immediate, by all the things on my list, by all the demands and expectations of other people, by my own fears and anxieties and wants. But it is alone with God in prayer, when I am still and quiet and just listen for his voice, he reminds me of who I am and who he is and what on earth I'm here for. The daily practice of getting away with the Lord is the one necessary thing you can't do without. You gotta get into prayer. And in this first chapter, we see from the very beginning, Jesus modeling for us a prayer-filled life. And you know, that is really our prayer for this year, that we would all just get alone with God a little bit every day, to read that chapter and to pray and to hear from him the things that he would want to tell us. So I encourage you this week to begin that journey. Get one of these Bible reading guides that we've printed out with the chapter for each day. You can find them on your church email, or come into the church and pick one up here, physical copy. But begin the journey, and let's see what God does this year. Have a wonderful Sunday. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.